Some are seeking for a treasure that they cannot find. Some are seeking for a treasure that they cannot afford. What is seen to the eye as a precious attraction is only wood and stubble, and it will not survive. Where does your treasure lie? Where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word. Are you seeking the one who bought your freedom? Freedom from the slave market of sin. The cost was everything to him, but he did not count it. He gladly gave it all, and from his cost we benefit. Where does your treasure lie? Where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word. Some search for treasures in money, others in what this life it holds. What I search for can't be bought, the eye cannot see. It was purchased at the cross, grace is it's free. Where does your treasure lie? Where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Vicky. Wonderful. I've entitled the message this morning, Up Close and Personal, which we're able to do here. We're up close and personal. Wonderful personal relationships, relations in the body of Christ. Each one with Christ and with each other. Each one with each other. Sunday, January 2nd, 2022. We made it through another year. This one, as soon as it struck, the clock struck midnight, I said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Perhaps this year, perhaps today, perhaps before I turn the mic off, which would be fine with me. How about you? Okay? All right, let's do it. He'll come when he's ready. We're to stay ready all the time, but he'll come when he's ready. And we are to regard his the delay, not as slowness, but as mercy, so that as many as possible might come. And that's his intention, of course. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He desires all men to be saved, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of thinking decision. Philippians 2:19 is our text, taking up where we left off on Tuesday, last year. Verse 19. But I hope, Paul speaking, under inspiration, in the Lord Jesus. All of his hope is in the Lord Jesus. All his faith is in the Lord Jesus. His hope is in the Lord Jesus. And his love is in the Lord Jesus, in of and from him. And it goes in its many directions. Love goes in many directions. Starts with love for yourself, love for God, love for mankind, love for the Word, and love for the person, ultimately, the person of Christ, who is man, who is in you, who is man, who is God, and who is the Word. Don't see how it fits? Fits perfectly. So we love because he loved us first. Love in all its directions. But I hope, here's hope, in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, he who honors God. That's his, what his name means. Timothy's a wonderful person and character in the saga of the establishment of the church, the early church, in the first century. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus to you, taxios. That means forthwith, immediately or shortly. So he says that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your spiritual status or condition. Timothy is the heir apparent to the ministry of the greatest apostle of them all, the great apostle Paul. He came from the city where Paul received the mystery. What city was that? Thank you, Terry. You're not the only one that knows. Lystra, that's where he came from. Lystra, where he was stoned to death. And while his body lay lifeless upon the ground, mortally wounded from the large and heavy stones that crushed his head and his body, he was transported, soul and spirit, into the presence of Jesus Christ, where he received information in words never before uttered from the beginning of the world, never before heard by men or angels. This is what Paul passed to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:14. O Timothy, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. He entrusted the treasure, the mystery, to Timothy. This was the treasure trove of revelation given to Paul. No one else but to him and him alone. In Ephesians 3:9. Perhaps you've heard about it. That's what he says. Perhaps you've heard of the dispensation of the mystery given to me for you. And indeed we have. 13 facets of the mystery. See how well you're doing. Stay. The mystery of the partial hardening of Israel. You know about that one, right? It's called a mystery. How about the mystery messenger, Paul? All about him. There's your references. The stewardship of the mystery. Paul says we are stewards of the mystery of Christ. And what's required of stewards is that they be faithful. Mystery of the exit resurrection. I show you a mystery. Will not all die, but will all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And then the mystery of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The mystery of the body of Christ. Corporate body of Christ, Ephesians 1:23, 5:32. The mystery of God's will. All that that entails for us, that we would be to the praise of the glory of his grace, who believed in Christ, sons of God, huiothesia, placed into high positions of power and authority for all eternity. Yes, us. Imagine that. Dispensation of the mystery, a unique dispensation, unlike any other. The mystery of the gospel, faith alone in Christ alone, never understood or heard before until Paul received it in the third heaven and he was able to preach Jesus Christ, his gospel, which was the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, that is the true identity of Christ. And what occurs in the end? The consolidation of the Godhead and the presentation of God, one God, Jesus Christ, for all eternity. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That should occupy our minds continually. The mystery of iniquity, that's about the Antichrist and the activity of Satan in the duration of church history, what he tries to do in his ministry day and night of accusation and condemnation and intimidation, which we don't fall for because we're not ignorant of his devices. Then the mystery of the faith, lots to it. Then the mystery of godliness, of course, in 1 Timothy 3:16, which is the pattern of all things in the New Testament era of the mystery or the age of the mystery. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, so perhaps you've heard about the mystery. You just did, once again. Perhaps your pastor made sure that he taught it in every way he knew how, so that anyone who wanted to know was able to do so. This is what one pastor passes along to others, to those God raises up from among those who hear the word from him. They get it, though most others do not. For not everyone sees or cares to see the magnificence of the mystery. To them, it's a bit much. It's to them a bit too ethereal and just a little bit too elusive for them. So Timothy from Lystra was the perfect illustration of the New Testament believer and pastor who could reach others with the mysterion, the mystery of Christ and the body of Christ, the church. Paul says, I hope. Hope is elpis, which is faith directed toward the future. I hope in the Lord Jesus. His hope is fastened to the Lord and to the plan, purpose, and will of God. Timothy, I hope to send Timothy to you soon so that I also may be encouraged, knowing the things all about you. Timothy would come teaching the word, and by observing the believers under the teaching of the mystery, would report to Paul their level of interest and humility, which is always indicative of one's spiritual status. That's the only way they can be determined. It's the only way it can be evaluated and analyzed, according to your interest in the word, in the ministry of the word, in the local assembly, as one who has become adept at listening to what the Spirit has to say to the churches, beneath the surface, between the lines, and even above the consciousness and understanding of man. He does it. He loves to do it. He longs to do it in James 4:5. And indeed, this church, the Philippian church, was a really good church on its way to being a great church. Verse 20, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Remember, he's sending Timothy to them. The one that takes over here, when I'm dead and gone, must be of kindred spirit with the Lord Jesus himself, in loving and caring for the precious souls entrusted to his ministry, faithful to provide tracts for believers to run on, faithful to teach and preach the mystery hidden from men and angels from ages and generations past, now revealed and proclaimed in the New Testament, scriptures of the New Testament, the prophets of the scriptures of the New Testament. Encourage believers. He must encourage believers also to get the word every day, encouraging them to attend the services whenever possible and take the word that comes forth home to study it. Read ahead to double your potential attainment from what is being taught. There's three rules of good student behavior, conduct, or activity. Get the word every day, attend to services whenever possible, and take the word that was proclaimed and take it home and study it. Read ahead to double your potential attainment from what's being taught. Now remember, the Spirit teaches those who are careful to hear, only those who are careful to hear, what the Spirit says to the churches. The cosmic cowboy, as we call them, rides away into the sunset. No one knows when we will see him next. Got to belong to a church. Please, for your sake and ours, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is really a bad habit that some have. Hebrews 10:25. Break the habit before it becomes too deeply ingrained. You really don't want us to worry about you, do you? And wonder if you're okay, because nobody's seen you for a long time. Or think we said something or did something that hurt you or offended you in some way. And if we did, which can happen, we are truly sorry. And we'll be much more careful to build you up and encourage you and love you, for indeed, you are precious in our sight and an important part of the local expression of the body of Christ. When you're not here, it's like we're missing a hand, a foot, an arm, or a leg. We need that which you do better than anyone else. We need you. Please come back. We miss you terribly. Our joy is seeing you up close and personal. If you believe that the Lord was present, where two or three are gathered, where the word is going forth, and essential messages based upon the finished work and grace, Bible doctrine, the mind or the thinking of Christ, I don't think some, would be nearly as casual. Over the years, I've seen it over and over again. Casual believers end up as casualties. They never amount to anything at all. Think it's true? It is, I'm here to tell you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. I'm afraid some will be losers in the end. They've chosen to lose. They choose to lose. And when every one of us can be a winner. You have to finish to win. You have to fin to win. You can choose to lose, but fin to win. Finish to win. Verse 20 says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Speaking of Timothy, once again, he really does highly recommend Timothy, who must have something on the ball for the apostle to recommend him. He says, for I have no one, then he says, that is isosukos, like-minded. Iso means like, and sukos means soul, like-souled, or of kindred spirit. That's a good way to define it. That is, having one or two that are like this. You only find one or two like this in most congregations who are fit to lead. It's true. Only a few. Having one or two like this is always enough. It's rare. It is a rare treasure to have a sizable group all intent on learning and knowing the mind of Christ in order that we might be like-minded with him first and with each other second. Then he says, who genuinely, that is, God sees and knows the sincerity of our thoughts and motives, blessing those that love what he loves, yes, and hate what he hates. That is your goal in life, to leave this earth, the sod of this earth, loving what God loves and hating what he hates. And as God blesses the root and the fruit of true righteousness, which he does, and he says that, let's see what he says, because I forget where I'm at. That can happen to old people. He says, for I have no one like-minded of kindred spirit who genuinely will be concerned. It's merimnao. Merimnao means to give attention to something due to its importance. The word is the most important thing in the world. The word is the most important thing in the world. It's the most important thing in your life. You say, really? I don't think so. Well, that's too bad for you. Pastors are to give themselves fully to it, and all the rest are required to eat it every morning without fail, as much as they should eat for the nourishment stamina provides each day. It's manna, the bread of life, invested with the person and spirit of Christ. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, John 6:63. So he says, no one else will be concerned about you. People like these are never available in abundance, but only in small numbers, scattered here and there as needed. So when you see one, you find one. I'm talking about a pastor, someone who teaches the word. You find one and you stick with him. He's a gift from God to you, and you're a gift of God to him. And as long as we see one another in this way, there will be unity and wonderful personal relations in the body of Christ. Personal relationships that are wonderful in life. Verse 21, for they all others seek their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. He says, for, gar, explanatory conjunction, for, you see, they all the rest of Paul's trainees and appointed preachers seem to have, to some degree, agendas of their own for themselves that were self-promoting, even self-aggrandizing, much as it is today. This should not surprise us. It's just the way it is. So beware. Once and again, believers who do not have a firm foundation and a church they call home are taken advantage of by less than sincere preachers and end up distrusting everyone. It's a serious matter that all believers must be aware of, as we're told by our illustrious apostle in Ephesians 4:14. Stop being children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, blow you right off course by the trickery, the sleight of hand of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Have you ever been duped or deceived by one of these? Have you? Anybody? It's quite a thing. So stop it. And it's way, way past the time you should be deceived by anything or anybody like that, that's for sure. So he says, next he says, all others seek their own. They seek or are zealous for their own interest or agenda, seeking and doing the things which benefit them, not which benefit others. Then he says, but not those, they do not seek the things of Jesus Christ. What are they? Well, that you would be blameless and harmless, children of God, Philippians 2:15. That you would be to the praise of the glory of God's grace, that you would be bright lights that shine in the midst of a generation of hunchbacks and perverts. That's the times we live in. That you would manifest the life of Jesus from within your mortal body, 2 Corinthians 4:11, that you would be as he is in this world. And 1 John 4:17, being predestined as sons to be placed in high positions of authority for time over your own soul, to reign in life, that is, by one, Jesus Christ, and eternity as co-regent over vast regions and populations. Ephesians 1:6, Romans 8:29. I know Brad's going to be one of them, that's for sure. He's so good at it here, so diligent. Unbelievable. Thank you, Brad, for your wonderful service, and I mean that most sincerely. Verse 22, but you know of his proven worth, whose? Timothy's, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a son serving his father. He says, but the proof of him, this is his proof, this is the proof of his humility and his allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Apostle Paul, his right-hand man, the tip of the spear, in forging ahead into human history and establishing the church. No one else but Paul could do it or would do it. So he says, but you know the proof of him. He said, you know that as a father-son team, that's exactly what he says, because he doesn't say as a father serving with his son. That's not what he says. He says, as a father-son team, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy's humility made him great as he served with Paul and carefully acquired the skills needed to advance the gospel and the mystery, not only during Paul's lifetime, but for many years after Paul was gone. The message handed down, passed along to faithful men who would teach others from generation to generation. We see that happening here with Ty and with Greg. They're going to be ordained in the next month or so, and we're going to work on that. By the way, think about this while we're on the subject. I want to form a committee, and Brad, you can help me with this. I want to form a committee, an ordination committee, so they can plan the ordination event. Help us plan the ordination event. We're not going to have a big, what they call an inquiry or anything like that. That's already been done. That's already established. These men know that they're called by the Lord and are willing to go ahead. But we want to do something that's decent and orderly and honoring of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would include a service, and it would also include a celebration. That's what we plan to do. With all of the other things. I want to appoint my wife, and I want to appoint Judy and Brad. Can you do this? Can you help with this? Okay. And I need two others, so I'll take two volunteers. Maybe Terry, because he's already been through it. And how about Frank? Frank, are you available? So we're doing it. There's our committee. Can you do it, Suze? Okay. You're not allowed to say no to me. I sprung this on her. This is our committee, and I'll just oversee it. I'm not going to. There's certain things that I want, and I'll let you know what those are, and then perhaps we can have a couple meetings and put things in place, and then we'll have everything well underway, and it'll be a wonderful thing, a time of great joy and rejoicing in our local assembly, as these men are recognized and ordained, and given the official certification to proclaim the mystery of Christ to a lost and dying world. Oh, how the next generation needs them. So pray for them also in the meantime. And for me. I covet your prayers. So anyway, having gotten that out of the way, we have our committee. How about that? I never thought to do it like that. Well, the Lord's good. So, from Paul, the preaching of Jesus Christ, that's the message. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, Paul's gospel. It's a little different than everyone else. It's way far more detailed. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past. From Paul to Timothy to many others, down to me and you, handed down in face-to-face teaching, up close, always up close, and personal. A long-standing rich tradition of truth handed down from one person to another, formally and informally, but always personally. As one inquires of another, seeing in them the genuine and attractive character of Jesus manifest. Manifest through his word and by his spirit. Verse 23. Therefore, Paul says, I hope to send him, Timothy, forthwith, immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. He said, that sounds a little bit selfish. No, he's saying, well, I got to see what's going to happen here before I can make the next move or make the decisions as to how we will accomplish the things I've been told to do. Here he says, indeed, therefore, I hope to send him, to send Timothy, as soon as possible. As soon as, he says, I should see how things concerning me. That's what it says in the original Greek. Not the things Paul's interested in, but the things that would keep him from coming to Philippi. He says next, he says, and I am confident, Pytho, in the Lord, everything directed in the Lord, through the Lord, to the Lord, through the Lord. He says that also I myself will come shortly. More of a wish on Paul's part and a faith desire that whether or not it occurs is placed fully in the Lord's hands. Paul doesn't make his decisions apart from prayer or apart from trusting in the Lord. Then verse 25 says, but I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my needs. Some people think Epaphroditus came from Philippi. I don't think so. I think it came from Colossae. It was one of Paul's preachers that went from place to place, and in this case, he was given the large offering that was to be given to Paul, and he took that offering. But he was beloved by the Philippians for sure. So he says, but I thought to send toward you all Epaphroditus, who is your brother and my co-worker and fellow soldier and also your apostle. He called him an apostle. That means he was sent. And minister of my need, that is the thing that you sent my way. The Philippians loved Epaphroditus because he was a lover of God and a preacher of Christ, not only them, but to many others. They trusted him implicitly, sending him without concern to Paul with their large financial gift, trusting the Lord that he would get it there, and indeed he did. Next, in verse 26, he says, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he had COVID-19. Oh, no, he was sick. He had some other sickness, terrible sickness. He says, because longing he was for you all and being distressed because you heard that he was weak, asthenes, or sick. So selfless and caring was he, that his chief concern was not for his own health or well-being, but instead that the Philippians would be so worried about him. Isn't that something? Verse 27 says, for indeed he was sick to the point of death. He was deathly ill. But God had mercy on him. We have Jim back with us today. Where's Jimmy in the other room? He's back. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers and bringing him back. We love him so. Such an important part of our congregation here. The brotherhood. And so it says, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy, Eliao, had mercy on him, and not him only, Paul says, but also on me, Paul says, referring to himself, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. That's why I said, I don't want anybody to die. Please. Not under my watch. Please, Lord, nobody die. Take us all up. I prefer that. Without anybody dying. But had he died, it certainly would have put a damper on the joyous and blessed occasion of their sending Epaphroditus to Paul with their generous gift. Would have been nearly as joyous. Therefore, God spared them the sorrow. And though Epaphroditus was very ill, he would not die, but rather would fully recover and return to the Philippians at once with this epistle. Also, Paul was spared additional pressure and concern for the church by the sorrow they would have undergone losing one so beloved and important to each one and the entire church. Again, it's up close and personal. The people that God sent into our lives who care about us and love us often more than our natural families do. Brotherly love runs deep. And the death of believers that are our dear comrades is a sorrowful thing. Presents a sorrowful time. Like when Wayne Shannon, Denny Ofer died, how sad it was for one and all. That's why I'm praying that we all go at the same time in 2022 when the Lord comes to snatch us away. 1 Corinthians 15:51, 1 Thessalonians 4:15 to 18. Lord, today would be fine with us. Nevertheless, not our will, but yours be done. Verse 28, we're making rapid progress through the second chapter. Therefore, he says, forthwith or without delay, I sent him. Who? Epaphroditus. He's going to send Timothy. Now he sent Epaphroditus. I sent him so that when you see him again, you might rejoice and might be relieved. Paul's concern for them, wishing them great joy, with the added benefit of easing his burden of care and concern for the church. Verse 29, receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard. Here we have Epaphroditus, evidently a leader or perhaps a teacher, perhaps one of the prototype pastor teachers. I believe him to be the same as Epaphras, which is a shortened form, Epaphroditus, who was an apostolic legate among the first prototype pastors with Timothy, Titus, and the others. Here and elsewhere, Paul praises him, even as he does Timothy. So not just Timothy, but Timothy and Epaphroditus receive praise from the Lord and from the apostle. Verse 30. It says that because of the work of Christ, to the degree that he nearly died, risking his life, it can be dangerous. The ministry can be dangerous. In that time, it was very dangerous because of persecution and just because of all of the crime and the peril of travel. He risked his life and disease. Course, like today, risking his life in order that he might complete your offering or service, that is to get the offering that they gave to the apostle, get it there safely so that he would have the funds necessary to pay his expenses and to continue ministry elsewhere and everywhere that he sent his pastors or his legates. Like Epaphroditus, like Timothy, like Titus, like others. So he says that he might complete your offering or service. Then he says that was absent, literally that was absent. Then he says toward me, that is being so far away, they could not supply Paul regularly with the money that he needed. Therefore, they gathered up all that they could and sent it over land and sea by Epaphroditus, who became very ill, but still made it to Paul. And for all of this, Paul was grateful. Some would say it seems he's not grateful enough, but the fact is, He does not want to exalt money over the motive and the price and the value by which it came, which is much more valuable and precious in his view than any amount of money that could be given. God forbid we talk too much or too often about money, which really characterizes the church of the last days. We're rich and have need of nothing, so give us more. We want more. We want to eat better, dress better, do more fun and wonderful things, and have more comfortable accommodations. Money's a funny thing, because a lot can be very harmful, and a little is always very helpful. Too much is harmful, and a little bit can be very helpful. A little can be a lot, and a lot can be a little. A lot can be too little. The slogan of our lives should always be, "The Lord will provide." How many know this is true? He does, in every way. All of this, all of you, all that we do unto the Lord and for or unto one another. It's up close and personal, face to face, receiving the word. Up close with one another, praying for one another, praying for your families, their wellness, steadfastness, spiritual progress, impact, etc. Being ready to spring into action, to do and give what's needed to help others and to advance the gospel and the kingdom in the mystery age. Never meddling in the private lives of anyone, but always ready to help if asked or needed. I know I can call on you if the need arises, and vice versa. You can call on Susie and me, and we will be there in a New York minute to help you. Don't hesitate to ask. We'll get a lot of calls this afternoon. This portion covered today has with it great grace and love by and between believers at their best in a good church, which is on its way to being a great church. Humility and availability to serve the Lord and his people. So keep up the good work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all these things. Bring them home to roost and keep them ever before us, that we might be that church that honors you supremely, that great church, a church of great grace that honors you supremely. We thank you for all these things. Vicki, if you would get ready, please. And we sing our final hymn. And thank you for attending today, for your wonderful concentration and attention and interest in the word. You passed the test today.